If I had to name this myself, I'd probably name it hearing solid preaching. You know, that's what we need. We need to be hearing solid preaching. But I think there's more to hearing than just hearing. And I want to touch on some of that today. Open with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I hope that you guys enjoyed that. I enjoyed being up here with Brother Camp and answering some questions. I knew most of those were possibly coming, so that helped a little bit. I had spent a little bit of time preparing for that. But I've preached through 1 Corinthians recently, and so it was fresh on my mind. There's so many things involved in some of those questions that really a little five-minute answer is not enough to fully answer those things. But I hope that some things were said that were beneficial to you. I enjoyed it. I think those are beneficial. When Paul taught sometimes, I believe that's the way that he taught. I believe Jesus sat the people down, and he sat down with them. You know, I think the Sermon on the Mount begins that way. Jesus went up into the mountain, he sat down, and the people sat down. Now, that's not the way we do things today, because that's not our tradition. But maybe we shouldn't be so hooked into the tradition as we are just doing the right thing. You know, and I certainly if Jesus sat down to teach, then it's acceptable. What is the purpose of hearing solid preaching in the life of God's children? I want to answer that question before we get through today. What is the purpose of hearing solid preaching? Now, that implies some things that we ought to be hearing solid preaching. I think that that is extremely important, and I believe that you folks certainly know that. God's children should be meditating on the Word of God constantly. Now, I don't mean that you ought to be necessarily reading the Word of God constantly. You can't read it 24 hours, 7 days a week. You have to go to work, you have to go to Walmart, you have to go eat, you have to do some things. And at some point, you've got to set the Bible down and go do some of the things that it's told you to do. But you ought to be meditating on it all the time. You know, you can be thinking about the things that you read this morning now. Well, maybe not right now. Hopefully you're listening to me right now if there's some benefit. But we ought to be studying the Word of God every day. If you don't study God's Word every day, you need to start, and you need to start that today. That's the blanket statement. God's people cannot serve God without studying His Word. You need to know something about it. Just hearing preaching a couple of hours a week is not enough. It's not nearly enough. You need to be in the Lord's Word all the time. What did the Berean saints do? They listened to the preaching of the Lord's Word. They went home and they checked to make sure the preacher knew what he was talking about. We need to do those things. I think Brother Ron's really, really sharp and really well read. And, you know, he says more in 45 minutes than I can say in 3 hours. Wow. I was like, wow. Think of all the things he brought out last night, and here I rambled and chased a bunch of rabbits. But you still need to check each other. I think Brother Ron would appreciate that out of you, that if there's something he's not got exactly right, he would appreciate you going to him one-on-one and saying, let's sit down and talk about this. Man, I've got 8 guys that teach in the church there at Northport, and they call me at work and they'll say, Brother Todd, you preached on this about 4 weeks ago, and I've been studying it for 4 weeks and I want to talk about it now. And I'm like, well, I forgot it 3 weeks ago. You know, how am I going to go? You're a lot more prepared than I am. But we'll sit down and maybe have lunch and talk about some of those things. I think that's really important because iron sharpens iron. So you need to be studying your Bible every day. You need to be fellowshipping with God's people around His Word every week. Every week. You need that. You need that. You wouldn't drive a car from here to Grand Canyon and never fill up. And you can't serve God in this life without filling up along the way. You need that. I think that that's important. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says, till I come, and Paul's talking about until he visits, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So we can surmise from that verse that in a church service, the Bible should be read. You say, that's pretty simple, right? Well, not everywhere. There was a lady not too long back that quit carrying her Bible to a certain church, and somebody went up and asked. She'd always carried her Bible to church all the time, and she finally quit carrying it to church, and somebody asked her why, and she said, well, he ain't preached from it in 3 years. I just thought I'd quit taking it. Yeah, I mean, not everybody understands the importance of reading the Word of God in church. I don't know that we read it enough. I know churches that treat a chapter of the Lord's Word the same way that they would treat the song service, and the congregation reads a chapter together every week. I'm not in any way opposed to that. I think that that's very good, to read the Word of God together, because he says here that reading God's Word is important, and I think that needs to go into every worship service. Context is important, as we talked about earlier. I really believe that a church should be having some kind of Bible study, at least in a Sunday school class or in maybe an afternoon session or something. I enjoy preaching on subjects, so I don't do that at our normal 11 o'clock hour, but in our 12 o'clock hour, we're constantly going through a book. We're constantly going through a book in Sunday school, and I think that's greatly beneficial. I think you need to learn to keep those things in context. To exhortation, a pastor needs to take the Word of God and apply it to people's lives. If the doctrine of the local church is true, so what? What do we then do with it? How does that affect us? How does it affect the way that we live our life? If the doctrines of grace are really true, how does that affect what we do? How does that affect the way that we witness to other people? How does it affect the way that we carry forth the commission? Those things need to be answered. That's good exhortation and good teaching. If we believe in the imminent coming of Christ, so what? Does that change anything about our life? Well, it certainly should. If we believe we're in the last of the last days, as Brother Camp was talking about this morning, then it should change the way we live every day if we believe Jesus is coming soon. So all of those things should be applied. Exhortation, doctrine. Doctrine is important. We don't believe in a watered-down worship service. I believe people ought to be growing in the Lord's Word. Now, that in itself is difficult for a pastor to do, because not everybody is on the same learning level. We've got people that attend our church from newborn to close to 80 years old. Some have been saved 50 years, and some have been saved 6 months. That's tough. But you know, one of the qualifications for a pastor is apt to teach. He's got to be able to relate to people who are newborn babes and people that need meat, and he's got to be able to do it together. He's got to be able to preach to those people. So I think that good, solid preaching is extremely important in a worship service. Watered-down messages make for nothing. I know in the majority of places today, every sermon is a sermon of salvation and how to be saved. And I don't even know that it's completely accurate in a lot of places. But that's the message. It's all geared toward evangelism. So churches don't receive any real instruction. And a lot of people's lives are just pathetic when it comes to serving the Lord. I don't believe all those people are lost. I believe that they don't have a good shepherd that are shepherding them. They haven't been taught how to live and what to do. So they're just scattered without any understanding. And I think that's common these days. You should thank the Lord that you have a man willing to study during the week and bring the Word of God out to you. That is such a blessing in today's society. Look at 2 Timothy while we're here this close, chapter 4. Look at the instruction that Paul gives to Timothy. Verse 2 says, preach the word. He did not say, preach your church's catechism, or preach your church's articles of faith, or preach the 1689 London Confession of Faith. He didn't say that, did he? He said, preach the word. Now, we hope that our articles of faith are based on God's Word, don't we? I mean, that's what we hope. But our articles of faith, in theory at least, could be incorrect, because we put those things together. But the Word of God is not wrong. So Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the way, Paul says, preach the Word. And that's what a preacher ought to be preaching. I don't see any real use in getting up here and preaching something else. The Word of God is enough, and I hope to cover that a little bit later today. Be instant, in season and out of season. Instant, you know, just means ready. Be ready to preach. Be ready to preach in season, out of season. These are the things that he is to do when he's preaching the Word. He is to reprove. He is to rebuke. He is to exhort. We might say that he is to correct. He is to lead. He is to teach. He is to apply the things that are doctrinal practically in the lives of his people. Because if you know doctrine, it should change the way you live. That's the reason to know doctrine. One person believes the doctrines of grace and one person does not. Should they then be doing everything exactly the same? Or should those doctrines guide the way that they do certain things? Well, either they don't really understand the doctrine, or their doctrine is going to guide them in the way that they go about things. I'm not going to ask people to bow their head and repeat a prayer and raise their hand if they want to go to heaven and all those kind of things. I'm not going to do that. Because I don't believe that saves. You know, some prayer isn't hocus pocus, heaven open the door. You know, open sesame. I mean, we've made that prayer the way to open the door into heaven. You know, repeat these words, heaven's gate will open. Is that biblical? How about you're a sinner and Jesus Christ is the only way for you to go to heaven? Repent and believe the gospel. That's biblical, isn't it? So that's what I'm going to preach. So my approach to evangelism is going to be different than that guy who does not believe those doctrinal things that the Scripture brings out. So I bring that out because we all can relate to that. We all, you know, embrace the doctrines of grace. But our doctrine should change the way that we approach everything in life. Everything should be changed by our doctrine. If our doctrine's just here, then it's really not benefiting us any. It should change the way that we live. A church should be learning the Word of God. The commission says in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Why would we like people to come into the church just to grow for growth's sake? No, I'm not interested in that. If we're just growing for growth's sake so we can compete with the church down the road, then we've missed it. I want to grow because I want our sphere of influence to grow. I want to be able to influence people positively with the Word of God so that they can more acceptably serve the Lord every day. That's why that we want to grow. I believe that the church in Northport, where I pastor, has some truths that some other places may not have, and so I think we can be a benefit to people in our community if we can get them in to follow, you know, the Word of God. I don't have any desire to teach them Todd Bryant's doctrine. Todd Bryant's doctrine is useless. God's written his doctrine down. Let's just go with it. And I want to teach them the Word of God. That's part of the commission. Now, we don't need to ignore the first part of the commission. Go make disciples. That's what teach all nations means. The Greek word for teach is didasco. This is not it. This is the word based on mathetes, which is disciples. This is go make disciples. Bring them in, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and then teach them the Word of God. That's simple, but that's what we are to do. That's why you got a pastor that preaches the Word of God to you, not just some kind of self-help thing, you know. If some of the books that are written today that are so popular were in the self-help section of the Christian bookstore, I'd be a whole lot more pleased with. But they're oftentimes located in theology or something. And they're just not. They're just bad that way. Look to James chapter 1. So, hearing solid preaching. I don't really think that I need to spend 45 minutes explaining that Brother Ron needs to be preaching the Word of God. If there's somebody here who doubts that, raise your hand. Okay, so let's not spend a ton of time on that. I mean, we all agree that the Word of God needs to be preached. Now, if somebody had raised their hand, we'd have had a discussion and I'd have gone on a little further with that. But I believe that Brother Ron needs to preach God's Word, just like Paul instructed Timothy in both of these epistles to Timothy. What are we to do? What are you to do? If Brother Ron's going to preach the truth, what are you to do? That's why Brother Ron got me up here to lay down that doctrinal thing and then make it personal for the people. That way we can all learn. Not that he doesn't believe you're doing this, that's not what I mean. But that he believes that this is the way we should approach a service of learning. James is one of those books. One of those books that sort of convict when you read it. That's why you don't see just a ton of preaching out of James anymore. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So if Brother Ron is preaching the Word of God, the church here needs to receive that as the Word of God. Not Brother Ron's words, but the Word of God as it is, God's Word. Then he says, James says this, this is something. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We ought to all have that whole verse printed out and stamped on our refrigerator or, on your mirror where you're getting ready in the morning. We ought to think about it all the time. I am a conservative theologically. I don't think you think anything else. By today's standards, theologically, I would be considered to be on the conservative end of the spectrum, which is fine enough. If I'm a conservative, good enough. There are people who would call me a liberal, fine enough, whatever. I just want to be in line with the Word of God. If it lines up wherever, that's where I want to be. If that's conservative or liberal, I'll be either one. I just want to be biblical. That's what's important to me. But the tendency of conservatism as a movement is two things. Number one, Brother Ron mentioned last night, one of the tendencies of conservatism as a movement is legalism. And I think Brother Ron mentioned legalism last night when he was preaching. That is, that we add to the Word of God like the Pharisees did. They were not conservatives, folks. They were not liberals, excuse me. They were extreme conservatives of their day. They were the most holy living people in Israel at the time, and they were admired by the masses because they appeared to have holiness. They were staunch conservatives, the Pharisees, and they led in the rejection of the Messiah. So one of the errors of conservatism often is legalism. We sing at the church in Northport for some weird reason. We sing verses 1, 2, and 4. We don't sing verse 3. We don't know why. We do. That's what everybody's always done. I remember the first time me and Wendy ever visited a church and they sang the third verse. I was like, well, what kind of place is this? This must be a liberal church here. They're singing the third verse. Have you ever even read that verse? We all just take a marker and mark it out. We've almost made that the standard down there where I'm at. It's extremely common. I know churches that would never allow the song leader to stand behind this, what they would call the sacred desk. I am serious. People have left churches over that. That's become tradition, but more than that, it's become doctrinal to them. This is some kind of sacred desk. This is wood. This is nothing. I could step down here and preach just as well, I hope. We could go outside and preach in the parking lot. It'd be the same thing. The people or the church. This is not the sacred desk. See, sometimes conservatives have a movement to traditionalism, which becomes legalism, and we apply things that aren't even real and aren't even true. One of the other things that I think is typical sometimes of conservatives is that we sit around and argue doctrine with one another, and we never go do what the Word of God tells us to do. We believe that being a Christian is just only about learning. Now, first of all, learning is extremely important. You need to know the Word of God. I just told you, you need to read it, you need to read it every day, and you need to be in it, and you need to be exhorted, and you need to learn those doctrinal things. But you can't just be a hearer of the Word. I said last night, there's no final exam at the judgment seat of Christ. We act like in conservative churches sometimes, like we are just studying for a final exam at the judgment seat of Christ. What will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? Your knowledge or what you've done with your knowledge? Well, clearly your works will be judged. It's what you've done with your knowledge that's going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Now that knowledge, again, should affect everything you do in church and everything that you do outside of church. So it's important to have knowledge, but just knowledge is not enough. So much so that James says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Then he says this. This is hurtful. This cuts. Deceiving your own selves. So if we're just about knowledge and we're not about doing, we are deceiving our own selves. That's pretty strong. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror, we would call that today. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightforth forgetteth what manner of man he was. I apologize for what I'm about to bring up. Anybody ever see the old TV show Happy Days? Yes, most of us here. Do you remember the guy who would walk up to the mirror with his comb and he'd just get just about ready to brush his hair and then he'd stop because he didn't need any fixing, right? And he'd just go, "Hey." Y'all remember that? That's this right here. That's exactly what this is talking about. Listen, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, he sees himself in the glass, and he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He sees the problems that he has, but he lays down the book and he goes on and he doesn't fix them. What is he doing? Verse 22 says he's deceiving his own self. Brother Ron can preach for the next 40 years, every Sunday, solid as you can get, but if you don't take the Word of God as it is and apply it in your life and go live it, it's not having the effect that God intended. God intends for His Word to be preached and for it to change the lives of His people. That's what James is talking about. Verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." You hear the Word of God preached and you continue to follow it. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, but he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I believe that the gospel is the means that God has chosen to save his elect children. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I believe that the gospel is the means by which God has chosen to save his elect children. I say that without reservation. But if I believe that, that should change the way that I approach every day, because I should be sharing that means that God has chosen to save people through. I should be sharing that with people. My desire is for people not to go to hell. God has given us the message to take into the world, so much so that Jesus said in Mark 16, "Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because the gospel is the means that God has chosen to work through to draw his elect to himself. So our understanding of that is one thing theologically, but it should change the way we approach every day. It should cause us to share the gospel if we believe that it's the means by which God saves people. If we believe that here, but we aren't living that, we're a hearer of the word and not a doer. That's concerning. That's major. Look at Luke chapter 11. Whew, I got to move on. Brother Ron told me to be through by 1 o'clock. I'm just kidding. I saw two people getting their coats getting ready to go. Luke chapter 11 verse 28 says, but he said, this is Christ, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God, period, right? And keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I wonder where James got that phrase from. Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he got that from. You are to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Jesus said, if you hear the word of God, you are blessed. But you are blessed if you hear it and keep it. So when we hear somebody preach the word of God, we need to then leave and go do it. You know, you come in to learn and to worship. You go out the door to serve. If all the service we ever give to God is from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock Sunday morning, we're not much different than anybody else in the whole world. I mean, we wonder, what does the world see different in us? I mean, it's got to be more than that. Take up your cross and follow me 2 hours a week. Is that what Jesus meant? Daily take up your cross. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday too. That's a lot. Sacrifice. I have friends that have, how can I delicately say this, lifestyles that I don't agree with. I say friends, not people that I hang around, but people that I maybe graduated high school with and I still know to an extent. And I've talked to one in depth, because I know that he grew up in church and he still claims to be a Christian, but his answer to me about how he could justify such a lifestyle was, I believe, okay, there's the first problem. What I would like to have heard from him was the word of God says, I believe that God wants me to be happy. If you're saved, you are saved to glorify God. That's why you've been saved, by the grace of God. Your life, then, should be lived in a biblical way so that you can glorify God in your life. Now, we don't all do that 24/7. None of us. But our lifestyle as a whole should be a pattern of good works according to God's word. And it should glorify God in the way that we live. So we need to hear the word of God and we need to keep the word of God. Doing the word of God is seeing yourself in the mirror of God's word, seeing the problems that you have, and we all have them, fixing those things and moving on. Now, I am not in any way suggesting that I have got all this ironed out. I told you this, you know, last night when I was preaching, my inclination when I was first saved was fire, draw, aim. That's not very meek and lowly. But Jesus said he was meek and lowly. I'm supposed to be a follower of Christ. So I ought to be becoming Christ-like. I hope that 16 years later, I've learned some bit of grace. I've certainly got a ways to go. You can ask Wendy, especially about 6 o'clock in the morning when I wake her up. I'm like the person that said I wake up grumpy every morning, then I run out of the room. She's not a morning person. I'll explain that to those of you that are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. I'll explain that to you a little bit later. We'll let Mark explain it. He's still laughing about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "Ye are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved among you that believe, or behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." So if God has called you unto his kingdom and glory, then there is a certain way that you are to walk. There's a life that you are to live. Now, generally speaking, we understand there are sins that I need to rid my life of. And without a doubt, that is true. There are sins of omission that we need to or commission that we need to fix. We need to stop those things. But there are also then things that we are to do if we're children of God. And we need to make sure that we don't just stop doing those old things, but that we also start doing those new things that the Lord has got for us to do, because your entire worldview changes when the Lord saves your soul. You go from serving yourself to serving the Lord, and that's completely different. I mean, you know, repentance is really saying my way's wrong and God's way's right. Verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Hey, I'm not preaching my words up here. When we read this, I didn't write this. That's why you should never get mad at Brother Ron for preaching something out of the Bible. He's not meddling. God wrote this. Did you know the Bible is literally the Word of God? There was a debate going on, I think last year, that I listened to some of. And it was about whether God audibly speaks today. Does God audibly speak today? And one of the guys said this: if you want to hear God speak, read the Word of God. If you want to hear God speak audibly, read it out loud. I like that. We don't have to sit on the edge of our seat waiting for God to audibly speak. We've got 66 books of the Word of God. We have the Word of God. Folks that are waiting on God to audibly speak to them, I fear, don't have the proper view of God's Word. This is the Word of God. We ought to be excited to get into it every time. You say, even that 9-chapter genealogy in 2 Chronicles? Yes. Though I do understand the difficulties that the flesh has reading it. There's even a purpose there. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. So why aren't we looking for more than the Word of God? I mean, don't we need to serve? Isn't this a different world? The needs today greater than the needs of Jesus' day? You know, the time that Jesus lived was pretty corrupt too. I don't know how many of you have ever covered Nero. Studied about Nero, but he was an extremely sinful man. Extremely. We have yet to have a leader in the United States that is remotely close to as sinful as Nero was, at least publicly, that we know of. He was heinous. We ought to thank the Lord for that every day. So I believe that the scripture that was written under Romanism is just as beneficial to us today as it was back then. The problems that man had then are the same problems that man faces today. We are no more depraved than they were. 100% is 100%. I believe man was totally depraved right after the fall, and he's totally depraved now. It's the same thing. People that are saved by the grace of God are 100% saved today, and they were 100% saved back then. So the Word of God is plenty good enough. In fact, I'd be tempted to say, we're not doing everything God's Word tells us to do. There's no reason to move on to anything else. Verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That says a lot about the scripture right there. That also says a lot about the response to good, solid preaching. Brother Ron's duty, since God has called him, is to preach the Word of God. Our duty as listeners in the audience is to hear it and do it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we have really muddied up the word inspiration in our normal everyday life today, because we may see some guy that plays a great game of football and say, man, he was really playing just inspired football. Well, that's not in any way what this is talking about. This is talking about something altogether different. In fact, if you were a Greek reader, you would read it like this. All Scripture is God-breathed, or breathed out by God. That's a little bit different than a guy playing a football game. This is literally the breath of God put down on paper for us to hold in our hand. And we take it for granted. We don't even look back to the days of the Dark Ages when people didn't even have the Word of God to hold in their hand. They may have had one leaf of Scripture. You know, we've got like 6,000 manuscripts of the New Testament, and barely any of them are complete from Matthew to Revelation. The vast majority of them are fragments, because people held on to just the little portion that they could get their hand on, and they guarded it with their life. We can go down to Dollar General and every one of us buy them out this afternoon. See, we take the Word of God for granted today. We don't realize how blessed we are to have the Word of God in our hands. They did. They did take that. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine, for you to learn. It is profitable for reproof, for correction, to correct you and show you your errors. It is profitable for instruction in telling you what you ought to do, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, that the man of God may be, we may even use the word, complete. The Word of God is enough. Man, I mean, I've read the Grace Proclamator and Proclamator in years past. I've read the other papers. I've read tracts. I've read articles. I've read books. I've read a lot of those things. But you know, in reality, this book is enough to get you where you need to go. It is. Or this passage is not true. I don't think any of us would doubt the validity of the passage. Now, I'm not against writings. I've got a library full of them. And I read other things, and I'm thankful for those things. But they better be based on God's Word. I heard a man say in a Bible conference a couple of years ago, and I really appreciated it. He said, if you have a study Bible, and probably most of you do, you got notes down at the bottom of the Bible explaining the part up top, don't read it from the bottom up. In other words, don't read the notes, then try to make the scripture fit the notes. Read it from the top
down.
And if you get down to the part in the notes that contradict the part up there in the top, the notes are wrong. The Bible is right. And it's enough. God's Word is not the tool by which you go out into the world and you prove yourself right to everybody. That's not what it's given for. Now, it should do that. Don't misunderstand. We should be proven right doctrinally by the Word of God. Just like I was talking earlier, it shouldn't be I think. It should be, well, thus says the Lord. That's the way that we ought to approach it. But God didn't give us the Word of God to just go bang everybody over the head with it in a hateful, mean-spirited way. Paul said, preach the Word of God, speak the truth. How? In love. There is a right way to go forth. I've heard preachers that walked up to a conference and they'd have their Bible and somebody would say, what you got right there? He'd say, I got my sword. You better read a little closer, brother. That's not your sword. That's the sword of the Spirit. And I'm going to let him wield his sword. I just want to preach it in love. He's the one that will use it, not me. I don't have any ability to open your heart and make you receive this. I have no ability whatsoever. That is so freeing to me. When I drive up here, I have great liberty because I know God is the one that's got to work, not me. Man, if I thought it was all dependent on Todd Bryan, I couldn't sleep ever. I'd never witness to anybody. I'd be scared to death. We don't have to be scared like that. I mean, we haven't been given the spirit of fear. The doctrines of grace ought to lead you away from that. You know nobody will ever be saved if God doesn't work. And if somebody's going to be saved, he will save them, no problem. So we preach. Same way with preaching up here. If I stick with the Word of God, God can use it. He's the one that can work in your life. It's not about me. It's not my sword, it's the sword of the Spirit. Now, we preach it because we've been instructed to preach the Word. But if anything ever comes from it fruit-wise, God must give that increase. I can't. It is the sword of the Spirit. The Bible is boot camp for the soul. It is that which trains you. You know, if you were going to go learn to do something, you get the instruction manual out and you begin to read. Now, one of the problems with men is we don't like reading instruction manuals. And usually when we put together that grill, there's about 4 or 5 screws left over. Something's not going to work right. We can't address our Christian life that way. You can't just guess. The world's full of people trying to guess their way through Christianity. That's inexcusable. We have the Word of God to lead us and guide us and train us. And that's the way that we ought to face that, because it is given to us to make us complete. And you can only be that through God's Word. A couple more passages, then I'm going to close up. John chapter 14. I want to challenge you today, because the message that I've been assigned today was preaching the Word and hearing the Word. I hope something's been said along those lines. I guess I've taken some liberty, but what are we gonna do if Brother Ron begins to preach and he preaches the Word? What is the church to do? They're to take it as the Word of God and go do it. That's what you do when you hear. Because if you just hear and you don't go do, what are you? Deceiving yourselves. We read that, James chapter 1. Who are we followers of? You know, in our little panel this morning, I read that verse where Paul says, be followers of me, even as I am a follower of who? Christ. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Are we keeping the words of Christ? We love to spend time in Romans chapter 8, and I'm all for Romans chapter 8 and 9 and 10. Those things are beautiful. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. But we've been given four books on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ignore that. Four books. His teaching is all through them. I preached through the Sermon on the Mount a while back. Longest sermon recorded of our Lord and Savior. There's a reason for that. It is full. And we need to be in that. We need to be studying that. I think every child of God ought to read the Sermon on the Mount every month. I think it would benefit every one of us to read it on a regular basis. Because Jesus says things like, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." I don't think, by the way, he's given a suggestion on how Christians are to live. I think he is giving a declaration as to how his people do live. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He doesn't say, you ought to be this. He says, my people are this way, and they got this waiting on them. That's pretty heavy when you think of it that way. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode to him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Now, if somebody is not keeping the sayings of Jesus Christ, Jesus said that person does not love him. You say, now that's meddling. I'm not meddling. I'm reading what Jesus said. Do Christian people always love Christ the way we ought to? No, sadly not. Did David love the Lord the way that he ought to when he looked at Bathsheba and had her brought to him and did all that, or did he have a weak moment? I believe David's life was one of great faithfulness, but that moment was a weak moment. What we need to do is limit those weak moments and find a whole lot more strong moments in our lives. And we find that by doing what the Word of God tells us to do. Jesus doesn't say, sit around by a campfire singing kumbaya to each other until I return. Jesus said, go into all the world and influence them for me, and I'll work with you. He even goes so far as to say, I will be with you always, even till the end of the world or the end of this age. He will be with us if we will go do his work. You know, the Bible is not a book for knowledge like a science book or something like that. The Bible is a book that calls to action. It is. Do this. Do this. Do this. That's what we find. Even in a book like Romans, which is full of theology, certainly. About those last 7 or 8 chapters of Romans are full of practicality. Go live for the Lord. Well, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're a Bible-based church. That's rare these days. But don't let it just be knowledge. If it's just knowledge without works, we're not accomplishing nearly as much as we feel like we are. It needs to be works backing up what we believe. So, Brother Ron, you keep preaching it. Y'all keep hearing it and then go do it. That's the way that the Scripture lines it out to be. Brother, if you will.